Peter, in his second letter, continually, especially in the toward the end of the first chapter, makes mention of what he calls these things. If you look in 2 Peter chapter 1, and we begin at verse 10, he says, "Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind." So we see over and over again, he uses this idea, this phrase, "these things." And it's quite obvious that these things pertain to those who are Christians. Because as you notice, these letters, both letters of Peter, 1 Peter and 2 Peter, they are addressed to those who are Christians. They are addressed to those saints who have received the same kind of faith and have the same kind of faith as Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours. So Peter is writing to people who are Christians already. But then if he's writing to people who are Christians, then what are these things? What are these things that he continually is referring to? Well, if you notice, as the verse we began to read said, "therefore." Well, that tells me that he's drawing a conclusion based upon something that he has said before. Let's take a look at what he specifically says before. And we have studied these verses previously. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. "Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love." So here are the qualities that he has just described, and he says, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on then in verse, and continues to describe that. And then in verse 10, "therefore, brethren." So in other words, now here's the conclusion of what I'm trying to tell you. If you want to make certain about his calling and choosing you, if you want to understand that, then you need to understand what these things are all about. And so this morning I want us to just answer the question, what am I to do with these things? We know that we've already studied what all those things are, and we've talked about how that the Christian is to have these qualities and is to appreciate the qualities, but what is it really that Peter is saying that I do with these things? He has some very specific instructions that are often overlooked. We'll often read that list and we'll say, oh yeah, I know what that list means, but then do we pay as much attention to the list, in a sense, that Peter gives us of what we are to do with those things? So let's just begin to take a look at what we do with these things. The very first thing is something that's pretty obvious. It's been something that we noticed already. The idea of supplying them. Supply these things. You notice he says there back in verse 5 that we read just a second ago, "Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply," and then he makes his list of the things, right? So the very first thing he opens with is, I want you to apply all diligence, and in your faith, supply these things. A lot of people, as we have noticed before, understand the idea of what it means to have faith, but they forget what it really means to supply something. Each of these things in the list must be supplied, not just independently, but they must be supplied so they work together in harmony. Remember, we've talked before about that word supply. It's from the idea of leading a group of performers, conducting a group of performers as an orchestra or a chorus specifically in this case. The idea is someone conducts or leads. So a Christian is to lead his life. That's the idea of supplying. Lead your life, putting these qualities together that Peter has just listed. Put them together as a harmonious whole. Direct your life in that way. But here's something that we often forget, that this is not something that Peter is just suggesting that is helpful to Christians. He's not saying, I've got a really good idea for you. I've got a really good suggestion that might get you going down the right path. That's not it at all. It's a direct instruction. It's a direct command. It demands the attention of every one of us. Everyone who is a Christian better be paying attention to what this list is. And you better be using them, supplying them, conducting them, putting them together as a harmonious whole. And that is the way you direct your life. It's a command. It doesn't say, now if you really want to be the kind of good Christian that you ought to be, then you need to make sure that you're supplying brotherly kindness and that you're supplying love. And no, it's a command. It's a direct instruction. That's what we must do with these things. Not a suggestion, but a direct command from the inspired writer of God's words. But then Peter goes a little deeper than that. He says, make them yours. Make them yours. We use that phrase from time to time. You know, this is really who I am, we say sometimes. Or, boy, he really made that song his, talking about maybe somebody that's singing a particular song. Or he really made this, or she really made that hers. You know, she put her own stamp on it, kind of thing. Well, these things are to be in Christians. They are to be who we are. There in verse 8 we just read, for if these qualities are yours. Some translations will read there, in you. Well, that's the same thing. They are who you are. You know, when I was a kid, there was a slogan that the government used to try to encourage proper nutrition, you know, among folks. And their phrase that they used at the time was, you are what you eat, kind of thing. Well, in other words, the idea is the things that you eat, the things that you intake into your body so that you can grow, really make you who you are. And they, you know, lead to your health. Well, certainly in this case, what Peter is saying is these things need to be who you are. They are what is in you. They are yours. But you know something about these is, he says, if these qualities are yours, he gives you a benefit. And it's not a health food benefit. It's a spiritual benefit. He says that they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if these things are yours, if they make up your very self, then you're not going to be useless. You're not going to be unfruitful. But you see, the inverse of that's also going to be true, isn't it? If these things aren't yours, if these things don't make up who you are, then how in the world can you be bearing His fruit? Just like He says, you'll neither be useless nor unfruitful if they are yours. Well, if they aren't yours, whose fruit? You know, you're not bearing fruit. You're certainly not bearing his fruit, because that's not what's in you. That's not what is yours. So what do we do with these things? Well, we conduct them in our lives. We enlist them in harmony in our lives. We supply them. We make them who we are. We make them who we are. Make them ours. But you know, a lot of people get the idea that we just make things ours. Oh, well, it belongs to me. Boy, I'm not sharing. Or we make them ours, and we're maybe like the guy that the Lord told the story about, the homeowner, the householder who gave away the talents. And he says, I'm going to be gone. I'm giving you, you know, I'm giving you some. I'm giving you some. I'm giving you some. Five and two and one. And the guy with one, maybe we're like the guy with one. Well, it's mine. Boy, I made it. He gave it to me. It's mine now, and I'm hanging on to it. Well, maybe we're like that. We don't need to be, because what he says is these things need to be made to increase. We need to make them increase. Again, to finish that verse that we were just looking at, if these qualities are yours and are increasing. He doesn't say if they're yours and you've got them put safely away somewhere out of the way, or if they're yours and you've got them tucked under your mattress. No, that's not what he says. If these are yours and are increasing. We've spoken about this idea of increasing over and over again, especially from the writings of Peter. In fact, you might say that one of the main points, one of the main things that Peter gets to, especially in the second letter, is to grow. Right? Grow. That's this idea right here, increasing. If they are increasing, some of your translations use the word abound, abound. Well, you guys know what abound means too. It means it's increasing. It means it's getting full. It's getting full to the top. It's even overflowing. In this particular instance, directly related to what Peter is saying, a fellow that's kind of a scholar of words, we might say, a fellow by the name of Marvin Vincent, he wrote some volumes, Word Studies of the New Testament. And he made a really good remark, I thought, about this particular concept of increasing or growing or abounding. He says it's an increase by growth, not by external junction. In other words, what he's saying is, it's not something that you're just gathering something from the outside and joining it to something that you've already got. It's not that, he says. He said, it's not by external junction, but each new grace springing out of and attempting and perfecting the other. In other words, what he's saying is, all of these things that Peter has listed for us, they go together, just like we've been talking about. And each one of those things causes the other thing to increase, causes the other thing to grow. And each one of those things comes out of the other thing. And then that one grows and that one grows. In other words, it's a mutuality. They continually build on each other. They always build on each other. That's where the increase comes from. That's why when we've studied this before, we've made the remark that Peter's list is not a pick and choose list. It's not a buffet. He doesn't say, oh, now if you like brotherly kindness, you go with that one. You know, if you like virtue, you really stick with that. You focus on that. No, that's not what Peter says. All of these things have to be with the other thing, or they don't work right, or you don't increase, you don't grow. They continually build on one another. And that's why we're talking about bearing fruit, making them yours so that you can bear fruit, making them increase. If you're not increasing, are you bearing any fruit? If you're not growing, you're not bearing fruit. And I think we all understand how important it is to bear His fruit. Think back to what Jesus Himself said in John chapter 15. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. It's important to bear his fruit. So make these things increase. Make them work. Put them all together. Make them who you are, so that each one can continually build. Each of these qualities continually builds. But is it enough to just say, oh, well, I've got them, and I'm keeping them, and I'm making sure I'm getting more and more, but then you never do anything about it? It's quite obvious that we need to do them. They're not just qualities to possess, but they are qualities to use. They are qualities to exercise. They are qualities to put into practice. What's he say? As long as you practice these things. That idea of practice, that means you've put it to use. You know, like we talk about a doctor practicing medicine. That doesn't mean that he's just, you know, that he's going to practice every day getting ready for the big game. No, it means he's putting what he has learned, he's putting his education, he's putting his experience to use. Someone who practices law, the same idea. It doesn't mean getting ready for the big game. Again, it means putting my knowledge, my experience, putting all this growth that I have, putting it to use. And that's what Peter's saying. As long as you practice these things, this thing, these lists, this list that we've had, as long as you practice these things. Isn't that exactly what all of Scripture really talks about? Isn't that the concept that Jesus introduces in the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapter 7? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, it's not enough to say, oh, I believe Jesus is Lord, but it's he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven that will enter. Even people that say, oh, I've got these things, Jesus says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. He says, if you're not doing exactly what I say, if you're not doing the things of this list like I say do these things, then you're not doing the right things. Or over in Luke 6, we see the same episode again being given by Luke or recounted by Luke. But then if you move even further down the line, what about the letter of James? James chapter 1, verse 21 beginning. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Here's this idea then, planting something so it can grow or increase and bear fruit. And he follows that up by saying, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not a hearer who does what? Merely deludes themselves. You think, oh, I've heard it and I've got it now. He said, if you're not doing it, you're just fooling yourself. You're deluding yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. And you notice there's also some security, isn't there, that comes with doing this? If you do these things, if you make them increase and you do these things, what's he say? You will never stumble. if you put these things into practice, as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. But then as you continue to read, he explains a little more about what that security entails. He says down there in verse 11, "For in this way," that is, in doing these things and putting these things into practice and not stumbling, that's the very way, he says, that the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. So if you increase these things, you have the security of knowing that the entrance into the kingdom is going to be increasingly supplied to you. You see, he's using the same word there. You put these things into practice. You make them increase. And as long as you're doing that thing, as long as you're putting them to use, as long as you're doing what you're supposed to do, then you're going to have the security of the entrance into the kingdom, the entrance abundantly supplied to you. Do you wonder why all throughout Scripture there is so much emphasis placed on doing? Doing what God said, walking in the works that God has before prepared, like Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. You know, a lot of people want to tell you and to give you the mistaken idea that you don't do anything. God has taken care of it all for you. It's all done for you. Christ died. Well, yes, Christ died. Yes, Christ shed his blood. Peter's all about that. He's writing to people who are Christians that already understand that and already have become Christians by doing, by obeying the Word. He established that in his first letter. He establishes that in his second letter. You've been obedient to the Word. That's what's purified your soul. He says, that's what's made you be born again. And now you better be doing all the things you're supposed to do. You better be continually doing and growing. Well, what's going to help us do that? What's going to help us continually grow? You know, Sheila does math. And, you know, there's this young lady that she tutors. Well, what if that young lady came in for a tutoring session one day and Sheila gives her some bit of information that she needs to progress in her lesson, but rather than remembering what she's been taught, she just tries to skip on to the next lesson and go from there without thinking back, well, what was it I learned yesterday? Is she going to be able to get very far? If she does, and when I'm studying with young folks trying to study the Bible with them, if they don't remember what I've told them the day before, they're going to have difficulty the next day, because what I told them the day before is exactly what we're going to be building off of the very next day. It gets tough. What do you have to do if you want these things to increase? What do you have to do if you want to remember to do them? Well, you have to do that. You have to remember it. You have to think about it. You have to dwell on it. You have to be reminded of it. You know, sometimes I find myself thinking that there are some, maybe I don't want to, I really don't need to preach on repentance because, I mean, everybody here knows about repentance already. Or I don't need to preach about baptism because everybody here, they already know about baptism. Well, that may be true. But do you know what Peter, but then I get to thinking about Peter. And everything he's writing to people who are already Christians, and he's writing to them about things they already know. And he's writing to them anyway. What Peter says is, I want you to remember these things. I want you to be able to call these things to mind. He says there in chapter 1 of 2 Peter, therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them. I'm going to keep on, he says, reminding you of these things. I know you know them, but they're vital and they're important. He goes on and says, as long as I'm in this earthly dwelling, what's he going to do? I'm going to stir you up by way of reminder. As long as I'm alive, I'm going to keep reminding you of these exact same things. I'm going to stir you up by reminding you of these things. And then he repeats it again. I will be diligent. Peter is a diligent guy, by the way. And you notice how that forms a little bit of a tie-in to what he said, for us in all diligence to supply. And he says, here's what I'm diligent in. I'm diligent that at any time after my departure, in other words, any time after my death, he said, as long as I'm alive, I'm going to keep stirring you up by way of reminder, because after I'm dead, I want you to be able to call these things to mind. I want you to be able to know these things. I want you to be able to think about these things. I want these things to become a part of you. I want you to do them. I want you to grow. I want them to be yours. I want that to be the way you conduct your life. You've got to remember. Instructions are only helpful to you if they're kept in your memory. That's the only way you're going to do math. If you keep what you've already learned in your memory, that's the only way you're going to be able to figure out what to do next. And it's the same thing, spiritually speaking. Instructions only help you if they're in your head, if you keep them in your memory so that you can act on them. Lacking these things has tragic consequences. If you lack these things, you don't remember. You forget. If they're not growing, you're going to forget them. If you're not doing them, you're going to forget them. If they're not who you are, you're going to forget them. If you're not conducting them in your life, you're going to forget them. That's tragic. In the ninth verse of this first chapter, Peter says, "For he who lacks these qualities is blind, short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins." You call yourself a Christian, but you're not supplying these things. You're forgetting them, but you're also forgetting who you are. If they're not in you and you're forgetting them, you're forgetting who you are. You're forgetting your purification. You're forgetting that you're a Christian. If you're not making them increase, you're forgetting them. You're short-sighted. You're not seeing what God has done for you. If you're not doing these things, if these qualities aren't being practiced in your life, you're not who you ought to be. And what you're showing is that you have forgotten your purification. You have forgotten all of these things. You've forgotten who you are. You've forgotten what you used to be. If these things aren't used in the right way in your life. This message this morning has been really simple because Peter made it really simple. These things, the godliness, the love, the brotherly kindness, the virtue, the moral excellence, all of those things grow together hand in hand harmoniously. Is that the way your life looks as a Christian? Are you a Christian? If you're not a Christian, your life can't possibly look like that. And that's sad, because that is the way that the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is supplied. So if you're not a Christian, you don't have that. You may think I'm a good person. Are you? If you're not doing what God commanded you to do, does that make you good? I would suggest you need to think, if you're not a Christian, about what your life really is. Can you truly be increasing in these things that God has given us and these qualities that God has outlined? But what if you are a Christian? Are you conducting these things in the way that Peter has indicated? Is that what your life looks like? Is it a harmonious combination, continually growing in all of these qualities? Or have you forgotten that you've been purified? Have you forgotten who you are? If you're here this morning and we can help you in your relationship with God by becoming a Christian, having your sins washed away by the blood of Christ, through your obedience, having them washed away by His blood in the waters of baptism, repenting of those things that have gone before. Or whether you're here and you are a Christian already, you've joined that family by becoming a child of God in that sense of the word, becoming a brother or a sister in Christ by putting on Christ. If we can help you in making things right in the way you've been conducting your life, by praying with you, asking the Lord for forgiveness and strength, or if you're here this morning and just need prayers of strength and encouragement along with your brothers and sisters in Christ, then that's a long way toward these putting these things into practice, isn't it? If you're here this morning and we can help you in any way at all, we'd certainly be glad to do that. If you would just let us know by coming to the front while we stand and sing.